This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mully and Hanley, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station.
Here comes
Len Casper. Cubs TV play-by-play man.
That ball is crushed.
Can you bunt the ball on the wavelength? That's my question.
Way out of here. Hello, Sheffield.
Twitter.com/LenCasper.
Oh, baby, Chris Bryant. A deep drive. Way back. Ball game over. Cubs win. Cubs win.
Len Casper, talking Cubs with Mully and Hanley.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Len Casper's in Atlanta getting ready for the big series. Well, I guess it's weird. It's a continuation of... Good morning, Len. How are you?
Doing great, guys. Yeah, it is a little strange, isn't it, with the game yesterday in Chicago. But this is a matchup of two of the better teams in the league so far, and obviously the Braves are probably the surprise of the National League.
We'll get to that in a second. I'm just very curious to get your take on the Supreme Court decision on legalized sports gambling, and just from your perspective as a broadcaster, have you thought at all about how or if that would change what you do, Len?
You know, it's interesting, Mike. I don't gamble. It's an interesting story. I don't see how it would change anything in terms of how I do my job. Mm-hmm. I know it's a big part of, you know, fantasy. You know, I do play fantasy football, but I don't really consider that necessarily a sports betting. No, I don't see how it would necessarily change my job. I suppose we could maybe have some advertisers at some point that you know, could be a part of the broadcast, but in terms of actually, you know, doing betting lines and that sort of thing, no, I don't think it would change the way we do our job.
Well, Len, if you were betting, would you bet that Q turns his game around quicker than you, or you will quicker than Q?
Well, you know, for me, Jose, you know, he was coming off two really good starts. He's, you know, yesterday, everything that they hit in the air left the park, and you know, it's been inconsistent, no question. He's been really good against Milwaukee and has struggled against just about everybody else, but I would bet on Jose for sure. The start tonight will be very interesting with Darvish coming back from the DL. No question the spotlight is on him, and I think we're all curious to see how it's going to go.
You buying into this sort of, what would you call it, kind of conspiracy theory that they held him back a day so he wouldn't get booed at Wrigley? You believe that's anything to that?
No, I think they were just buying some time, and I think the off day on Thursday made it easy to have Quintana pitch a normal rest, and I think that's really important right now for the starting pitchers who, over the first month, basically had to work on, you know, 6, 7, 8 days of rest. And I think now kind of getting into that every fifth day, it just made a lot of sense. There's no reason for a guy coming off illness to push it. And it just made sense to me to have Quintana pitch yesterday and Darvish come off the DL tonight.
I know you're not a lineupista, Len, because I don't see you at the meetings. And I know you're probably too busy to go to the meetings. But we've had callers and texters today suggest in particular that the Cubs' defensive lapses go hand-in-hand with the almost daily changing of the lineup. But, you know, yesterday you had Anthony Rizzo commit an error. Last time I checked, he pretty much plays almost 162 at first. What do you, when you look at the defensive issues and their 27th at fielding percentage, What do you attribute them to, if anything?
The defensive stuff's really interesting. I looked yesterday before the game, and their defensive efficiency number was, I think, third or fourth in the majors, even though they have committed some errors that are very uncharacteristic. Essentially, defensive efficiency measures balls in play that are converted into outs. I think by the end of the year, this should be one of the best defenses in baseball. You know, if you go around the diamond, I mean, the track record, the back of the baseball card, as we talk about a lot, is really good. And, you know, Contreras is going to make errors just because he's really aggressive behind the plate. Had an airmailed throw on Sunday against the White Sox that certainly cost the Cubs. Rizzo had a 150-game errorless streak that was snapped recently. We know Baez and Russell, how good they are. You know, Chris Bryant, to me, guys, has been a really good outfielder in his career. He just had a bad game the other day. And I think Joe will continue to play him out there. And the other part of it is, arguably, you know, the best defensive outfielder in the league, Jason Hayward, has been on the DL. So you are missing that glove and that arm in the outfield right now. But you know, I think the bottom line is when you play close games, those things matter a heck of a lot more than when you're scoring 7-8 runs a game. And, you know, it feels like when the Cubs have made an error, it has come back to bite them in these tight games.
It's been reported that Hayward has family in Atlanta, which is really why he's making the trip, not because he's definitely going to play. And Joe said yesterday that that the return date is unknown. So, you know, again, I think it's a very serious issue when you're talking about concussion, and we saw him hit his head on that play. Any idea where he's at in terms? I mean, if he's flying, that's probably a good if he has flown, I guess, that's probably a good idea that he's coming back, a good sign.
Yeah, he's from Atlanta, and I think that's probably why he's here. What I have heard is basically no update, which would lead me to believe that it's not going to be a day-to-day thing. It might still be, you know, next week or the week after. Mm-hmm. And so, when I hear no timetable, it sounds indefinite to me, and they want to make sure that, you know, certainly he's as close to 100% as possible. You know, he got hit by a pitch in the jaw several years ago. I don't know if he was concussed when that happened. But, you know, pro athletes today, as you know, guys, if any time the head is involved in terms of whiplash or a concussion, they really want to be as cautious as possible. So I think they're going to take this one very carefully.
When you look at the rivals in the division, it's amazing to look at the Brewers, arguably the one of, if not the best bullpen in the National League. But scoring runs, other than the Colorado series where they put up 23, 24 runs in four games, they're bottom three or four in runs scored, and yet they're up the top of the division and tied with Atlanta for most wins. Is that sustainable? Is that, you know, going to get better with health? Is that, you know, are they legitimate considering what they're doing now and doing it with guys on the DL when it comes to pitching and also, you know, the offense not clicking?
I think so. I've felt since the start of spring training that the Brewers were a team to reckon with, especially with the two outfielders they acquired in the offseason. I think my biggest question was their starting pitching, because they had a really good year last year, but without Jimmy Nelson to start the year and some guys who really performed well, whether they could do that again. And so far, you know, they've shown that they've been able to do that. And you mentioned their bullpen. They feel really good about that area. And I think the strength of the club, as I look at them, is their offense. So, you know, I would think they've got a really nice stretch offensively coming. I think Cub fans have seen the Brewers at their worst against the Cubs. And, you know, winning, 7 of 8 has been enormous for this Cubs team. But, yeah, I think the Brewers, of the other teams in the division, I think they're probably the one team you got to watch for.
What do you make of the Ben Zobrist shoe question?
You know, it's funny because I've noticed over the last year that guys are just kind of wearing whatever shoes they want, and in some cases not related at all to the team colors. And I've pointed it out in various moments. And, you know, Jim Deshaies has a really good point, and he's adamant about it because of the history of the game. Kind of the standard look was the black cleat. And he said that that should be grandfathered in, or, you know, not part of the fashion police rules, that if you want to wear black shoes, you should be able to. And I think Ben's reasons for wanting to wear the shoes make total sense. So whether it's an exception to the rule or it becomes part of the rule itself, you would like to think that there's a nice, healthy compromise here. I do understand that they do have negotiated rules as part of the CBA, and if it just comes down to he has to pay a few $100 fine every game he wears them, I'm sure he's willing to pay it.
So we're up to, what, 7 now, different guys leading off? What's the over-under when it's all said and done?
Yeah, I think that he's going to continue to mix and match. I looked yesterday, the Cubs on base percentage from the leadoff spot was .320, which was 20th in the league. So with that, I think you're going to continue to tweak it a little bit. And I'm with Joe. I think you're just trying to maximize the daily lineup. And, you know, the proof is in the pudding. And the bottom line is when you're scoring 5.5 runs a game and you're in the top 3 or 4 in Major League Baseball, you're going to be fine. I know that there have been, you know, the 10 runs followed by the 2 runs. But here lately, especially on this last homestand, I don't think anybody can complain about what the offense has done.
Great stuff. Appreciate it, Len.
All right, guys. Have a great week. I'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Thanks, Len. Right, take care.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.